Welcome to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbird. Our homie Bill from Woke and Bake Podcast is here to join us again. Enjoy, wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
They're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about anything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, Seabass!
Wake up!
What's wake up, America!
Wake the fuck up, we'll get fucked the fuck up!
Nasty, dirty, grimy artists, because remember G-Dep. The first time G-Dep came out was on a DJ premiere tape.
Yep.
So he was on a tape with Company Flow. He was there with a gang of underground artists. And so there's probably, I don't want to say there's a little bit of truth to it, but it seems like, especially at that time, I remember that time, if you came out on a major label, you were either garbage or you were highly polished. That's how you ended up with guys like DMX, and at the same time, that's how you end up with guys like Chingy. So there was a balance there that doesn't need to exist anymore. But yeah, artists, major label artists in the 90s and 2000s, very often, yeah, they were polished. They've been grinding for years and years and years in order to get that spot that they were put in. And
well, also, too, it was different back then. Like, so, like, it was more about the culture. Like, I think the culture, like, for me personally, like, I know a lot of people listen to hip-hop now and all that shit, which is great, but, like, I started like breakdancing and graffiti and all that. So like a lot of people don't even recognize the full elements of, you know, people beatboxing on the corner and stuff like that. So you used to see a lot of those elements, especially with the New York cats. You know what I mean? That's why like it was so phenomenal to see someone like DMX, because at that time, remember, New York had a certain sound. And if you weren't that sound, and DMX was completely different from anybody that sounded like you didn't know he was from New York. You know what I mean? By how he rapped and shit. Like, so that's why he was such a it was nice to see that that was when they finally kind of, all right, we'll do something different.
X was an interesting cat to discuss. And a big part of that was that he could be complex as fuck with the way that he wrote his lyrics and the way that he performed them and the way that that he would flow his delivery. And on one hand, he could be very simple. He could be very complex. But when he hit the simplicity, I think that that's where his international stardom came from. I mean, I'm sure there are dudes right now that are doctors, lawyers, judges, teachers, who, you know, started learning English because of DMX.
Oh, for sure.
You know, because a lot of the topics that he touched on were absolutely universal. And so, you know, now we're at this place where we can kind of sit back and recognize that it's been 20 plus years. This is the impact that some of these artists have had. And, you know, rest in power to Black Rob, rest in power to DMX.
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely.
Major musical losses, especially if you're from that era and you remember that era. My buddy Darnell, the dude that did the Woe song, he was the first time we heard it. We were he was actually on tour with Puff at the time. He was one of the opening acts. It was on his European tour in 2000. And like in the middle of like his show, they do like, not necessarily like an intermission, but it was time for folks to get changed and all that good stuff. And they put on the Black Rob video, and it was like this 100-foot screen. And so you're seeing that that semi-truck just rolling down on this big-ass screen. It's fucking awesome with stereo sound. It was yeah, a really wonderful experience. Man,
no, it was dope, man. And then when that beat came out, man, it was just hard, like you said, man. That shit was just like everybody wanted to be on that beat.
It was like when Pun said, "I'll even let you rhyme to the Benjamins beat." This was that a few years later. Like everybody freestyled on Woe, and everybody had a nice 16 that was written for Woe.
Yeah, that was the fresh beat at the time.
Yeah, it's a loss. It's certainly a loss. He was releasing, like, I didn't know that he released a record on Duck Down, but he'd been releasing music up until around 2015, Black Rob. So he'd been.
Do you know what happened to him? Because I had seen that he was in the hospital, but I never found out, like, why he was in the hospital, because they showed that when he had said rest in peace to DMX, and that's when it was aware that he was in the hospital, because he was in a hospital gown and in a bed from the video.
I have no idea what the cause was. My assumption is that it was, long-term health issues, because he didn't look like he had been in, like, great shape, like he'd been running marathons or anything previous to being in the hospital bed. I would imagine that it's long-term health issues. I think probably some asthma, because the reality is when you have with housing projects, you're having this dank, dead air that's not filtering. It's not going anywhere. You're sharing the same air with everybody else. And like when I was in the military, there were in our dorms, there were cases of black mold. And with those cases of black mold came cases of asthma from people who didn't have asthma before. Like they joined the military, they got to this dorm, and this is the first time they've been diagnosed with asthma. I think that there's some health issues that need to be addressed in a lot of different aspects. But one of them is good old fashioned apartment living.
Yeah, you're right though. That is something to be aware of too, because especially like in the East Coast, like those shits are built like that's why they're the projects. You know what I mean? Like where they're just like a fortress, almost like, you know, in all the apocalyptic movies, those are the places that people hide out at, you know what I mean? Because they're built like as a fortress to like not be able to get in or get out almost.
Yeah, you have 5 or 10,000 people living inside of one building sharing a ventilation system, and not everyone is keeping their house and their living area clean. I'm sure the ventilation system's not being cleaned on a regular basis. There are a lot of things that probably need to be addressed. But that's not why we're here today.
No, but it does address a little bit, even some of that, like, whole Great Reset stuff and all that, you know what I mean? Like, them wanting us to live into those apartments. I think that's all the test. But what interests me, because I didn't even know about that until you told me, about James Corbett.
Yes. That's the kind of big news that nobody's talking about. And for a while, I thought that James Corbell, or Jeremy Corbell, is almost, I don't want to say he was created, but he was put into a position for a couple of different reasons. But it didn't hurt that his name sounded a little bit like James Corbett enough that if you listen to the Joe Rogan Experience and you're like, there's a C guy and he's in conspiracies, core, something or other. You're good. That's where you're going to end up. You're not going to end up with James Corbett, who's been on TFH, who's been on the Conspiracy Farm, who's been on his own platform, the Corbett Report, for a very long time, doing some very important work as far as his documentaries go into the 9/11 trillions. Where did the money go? Who benefited from the war? What is the actual story behind Timothy McVeigh? That's where I think that someone like James Corbell, Jeremy Corbell, comes into play. You're searching for aliens, and you're not necessarily doing a great job of doing it. People tend to provide you with the information that you want. I'm not sure if you saw his Skinwalker Ranch documentary, but it was the worst $20 I've ever spent. And I've spent $20 on some stupid shit.
No, I didn't watch that. I may have, but I can't remember what it's about.
You're lucky. It's about the Skinwalker Ranch, and it's a very large ranch, and that's where you're seeing a lot of the cattle mutilations and stuff like that. That's where it is happening, on the Skinwalker Ranch. And there's a long history, native stories about something living in the area that is mutilating cows, that is sucking their blood, pulling their organs out, not leaving a sign of who was there or why.
I think I know what you're talking about now. I think was he on Joe Rogan talking about that?
Yeah. And it's a garbage documentary. It's the same drone footage going up and down about 30 times in the video. They don't really interview anyone who has anything interesting to say. You just kind of talk to his bankrollers, pop stars like Robbie Williams. Like, that's great. He wrote Angels, but who gives a fuck? Talk to me about what you actually have. I believe that's why he did he got the Bob Lazar documentary. As well as having a relationship with George Knapp probably doesn't hurt. But I believe that a lot of the alien stuff that we're seeing now is just updated blue beam stuff. It's updated fake alien invasion stuff that guys like William Cooper was talking about in Behold the Pale Horse. What you're going to see is you're going to see the fake alien invasion before you see what's really there. And it's a fake alien invasion because we know they've been here since at least the Eisenhower administration.
Yeah, for sure. There's some that we know that we've seen, like circular crafts and like that. Like, it depends on what far. Like me personally, like as far as aliens, like I feel like because and then like I know some people believe in flat Earth, which to me I don't know. I haven't been proven. They haven't proven it to me, but I believe that there has to be aliens because there's like an infinite universe. How could we be the only thing? You know what I mean? And like you said, like it's unlikely that they would just barely come right now. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, like, I think like they're slowly going to play us into this card. And I don't know, like, how it's going to play out as far as like they're going to bust out the Project Blue Beam. And then like, because right now everything, because even Rogan's been hard on it. If you look on his Instagram, he keeps posting he does never post news on his Instagram unless it's about UFOs.
And all of that shit's coming from Jeremy Corbell. Right. So who is Jeremy Corbell getting his information from? The people that want to give him the information. The people that are getting deplatformed aren't talking about the alien stuff. The people that are talking about alien stuff are selling T-shirts and coffee mugs. The folks that are talking about where is the money going, who is actually controlling stuff, those are the folks that are getting deplatformed. You have guys like Alex Jones, perfect example. He doesn't talk about alien shit. He talks about where the money is coming from, who's doing what are the names involved, and what are they doing. But he gets deplatformed, all right? James Corbett ends up getting deplatformed because of the things that – because he's talking about Gil Bates and Kafufid. They're talking about Agenda 21. They're talking about human depopulation. These are the things that those folks are talking about, and these are the things that are getting deplatformed. But you talk about aliens, let's talk more about aliens. It seems like, for me, what is happening is this intentional disinformation that's just kind of being spread out all over the airwaves, whether it's on TV, whether it's on the internet. Because it's an effort to talk to keep us from talking about a potential, you know, what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine. It's, it's shit like that that we're not talking about on mainstream news. It's not stuff that's talked about on the internet, because what is important right now are the aliens, because that's what needs to be talked. That's what's on Fox News. It's on CNN. The only thing that they can talk, that they can agree on, because they're the same company, is the aliens are coming. You know, we're talking about the aliens now because that's what's really important, rather than potential wars. We're talking about who's benefiting off of keeping us locked down. We're not talking about authoritarianism. What we're talking about is fucking aliens, because that's what's really important. But they've been here since forever, man. We've got them throughout biblical history. Just about every faith and religion has some history of UFOs, just the same way that there's a history of Bigfoot. Every culture has their Bigfoot, their thing that lives in the woods. But every culture has these, whether, you know, they're interdimensional space aliens, whether they're Anunnaki, whether they're reptilian. They've been here since fucking forever. And so to act like it's big news because we see triangles in the sky, meanwhile, folks with actual evidence of conspiracy, of lies, of truth, those cats get deplatformed. They get kicked off of social media, essentially kicked off the internet.
Not even just exposing, though. No, but not even just exposing, but even like just telling people different from the narrative, like people telling people like to get more vitamin D and to build up your immune system, to like think of things with like COVID and all that bullshit, like to just say anything against what the narrative has been in general, those people are being silenced. Like, not even just exposing those people too, but I'm saying just even on the surface level of people just saying, hey, maybe you should just try to take care of yourself a little bit. And those people are getting censored and deplatformed. And like you said, trying to get kicked off the internet. And I mean, in a way, it's kind of good because it's pushing people to decentralize the internet again and make it a wild, wild west where everybody's just starting to plant. But that is where everything comes to play. But I think when you go back to the like the UFOs and stuff, it's all about the divide and conquer. And see, there's more ideologies than just left and right. You know, in America, just in America alone, there's tons of ideologies. So I think they have to divide us in all types of ways, because I see it in the truther community a lot too, like where we're having arguments or this is I'm right about this, and instead of like, hey, we know that you could say the earth is flat, or you could say the alien, all this stuff is up in the debate. You can't show me, or I can't do this and that, but I could show you right now receipts of like, hey, this shit is not right, like what we're doing. Hey, look at Ukraine and Russia. Look at the COVID bill, the original COVID bill, where it was the largest transfer of wealth in human history. You know what I mean? To the oligarch class.
Oh, absolutely. So check this out. This is where it gets crazy to me, right? Is we have these, we've had multiple trillion-dollar bailouts in the last 365 days. Multiple trillion-dollar bailouts. When you listen to the news and they discuss the closing out of the war in Afghanistan, right? When they talk about that, they talk about how the war cost $2 trillion. It's 20 years of war. That is dudes lobbing $60,000 rockets, $60,000 shoulder-fired rockets into villages and mountains, one right after the other. And it took that long to get to $2 trillion. Meanwhile, we have this fiat currency that means, at this point, absolutely nothing. If you look at the way folks are buying Dogecoin or Bitcoin Cash, your Ethereum, whatever cryptocurrency that you are investing your money in, you're using this fiat currency to buy it, right? So everybody, we're all playing our part in devaluing the currency. But what we're not talking about is how all of this dictates what's going to happen next. The transfer of wealth. It's crazy, because this is one of the few times that the average human being has the opportunity to buy in on it. But it's all going, in my opinion, to inflation. It's going, the transfer of wealth means a little bit less when everybody gets to get in on it.
Yeah, and we're looking at hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is how you get a real Hitler in charge of a country. That's how you get a fascist country. That's how you get people to do. And since we're already divided and we have no, we can't get together. The working class needs to unite and try to figure some shit out, but we can't. So we're too busy fighting like amongst each other over identity politics or over regular politics, over in the truther community, whether you're right or wrong about this. How come you don't believe it's becoming these such a tribalistic, not to be like Joe Rogan, because that's how he talks about, but he's right about that part, is that we become such all this tribalism of, I'm this and I have to believe this and defend it to the death, no matter wrong or right. You know what I mean? And just how we've always had a little bit of that with religion in general. That's tribalism to me. You know, following anything completely without questioning it is tribalism. Like, I think you have to try to question and figure out, okay, this has some good points and this. But to me right now, we should all be focused 100% in the working class, no matter what you believe, religion, creed, gender, any of that shit. Ideology should be like, hey, right, this has been a long time of where this American imperialism of trying to police the world, this military industrial complex that has constantly keep nagging us, and we're keep pushing it further and further, and we're trying to find a new conflict. It's like we're trying to create conflicts just so we can make more money.
Well, there's that. There's creating diseases and illnesses that didn't necessarily exist in order to sell the solution to the problem. You have, okay, so COVID, Kafu, has an over 99% survival rate, right? And And it's even, you have an even better chance of surviving if you take care of yourself. The first thing that we do is we tell everyone to get a shot rather than eat an apple and go for a walk in the sun. All right. Rather than go out and do things that you know to better yourself, to take care of yourself, we're continuing to eat shit and get the jab because it'll make you all better. Meanwhile, it doesn't do anything for you if you're a diabetic, if you've got underlying health issues. It doesn't do anything to address those health issues. But what we're doing is we are giving you a vaccine that, A, if it fucks you up, you can't do anything about it, right? Like, you're all, there's not going to be a class action suit because you're not allowed to have one, right? This was, these were emergency measures to give your buddies, who, by the way, I'm curious to know how much the pharmaceutical industry donated to our politicians in the last 5 years, all right? Whether it's your congressman, whether it's presidents, whether it's senators, I'd like to know. I'd like to see, because I know Cory Booker took a lot of money from Purdue Pharma, right? I know that because I looked into it during his stance on he had an anti-cannabis stance at one point, which I don't know how you can be anti-cannabis and hang out with Talib Kweli.
Yeah.
However, he was. He was. But he took money from people that sold opiates, right, and mass sold opiates, and then sold you the solution in the Narcan, right? So create the problem so you can create the solution, or you create the solution and you create the problem later. It doesn't change the fact that these folks that are diabetics or that have these health issues are going to continue to need their insulin, which we're overcharging them for. It, you know, it doesn't change they got to take these heart medications, where if we got them on a better diet and got people out of the house and working out and doing things to better themselves, maybe you wouldn't have the health condition to begin with. But it's all part of the selling shit to people. It's all part of how do we continue this cycle of generating income from these people who don't make good decisions.
Yeah, like instead of it being that, but once you start that cycle, though, it's also not, it's hard to stop it, because then if you stop it, they've connected all the economy to it. That's how, like, why we have endless wars, because the economy's so entangled into imperialism that if you stop it, you shut down the economy. So I think, like, the only thing we can really do is, like, I don't know. I think that James O'Keefe, CNN, like, little expose, you know, that little undercover, that was great. And that was great. And showed what everybody already knew. They're using fear. They even said it themselves. They're like, man, fear sells. And they push you into fear. And they push you to, like, where you're at the point of where, like, please, just, I'll do whatever you want. Just let it go back to the way that I used to like it. And life was cool. So that's what they're doing to people. They're getting people so afraid that you'll never be able to do anything. You're hearing all this scary news. And to me, we know that all these news networks are heavily paid by the pharmaceutical companies, because that's their main advertisements. Their main advertisements are pharmaceutical fucking companies. And that, so you know they're pushing for them. And to me, what I've been saying in a lot of hosts and different podcasts I've been listening to, it seems like Pfizer has been paying the most money, because you're hearing attacks on AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, and now they're going after Moderna. And they're not really doing stories on what's happening with Pfizer. So to me, that's like just genius marketing, where you attack your competition, then you become the only solution in town. So not only do you have that corruption, you have the extra corruption on top of it, where they're attacking each individual vaccine and trying to become the dominant one. And that's what's going to happen, I think.
I think it's going to get to that. The Johnson & Johnson was always going to fail, because it's Johnson & Johnson. I mean, they're the same folks that gave us the anal cancer fucking baby powder. Right. Like, so for years, for decades, Johnson & Johnson was aware that they had asbestos in the talc mines that they were using. And so there was asbestos in baby powder, the baby powder that you would put on your kids, that might have been put on you by your, you know, loved ones. Well, shit, it was in my house until very recently. But one of the things that we're seeing, when you start talking about Pfizer and the medication and the news, watch the news. Watch 1 hour of cable news. Watch Sean Hannity is the perfect example, but you can use Rachel Maddow or any of these fuckheads. So That 1 hour is broken up. Every 12 minutes, you get a 2 or 3 minute break where they sell you something. And the first thing they sell you is a shitty chain restaurant. They sell you like a heart medication. And then they sell you like a poorly made American car. Then you get to the next break, right? And it's a slightly better shitty chain restaurant. It's a slightly less shitty, maybe it's an American car, maybe it's a foreign car. But then it's a heart medication, right? Because you've eaten all the shitty food and, you know, now you've got some heart issues, right? By the time you get to that last break of the hour, it's a much nicer shitty restaurant. It's normally a foreign car. It's a Lexus. It's a Mercedes. It's, you know, some fucking gas guzzling SUV. And then it's a boner pill, right? It's a boner pill, or it's an antidepressant, right? Because of the heart condition, you can't get a boner anymore. But this will give you a boner. Now, if you're sad because you've got to take a boner pill, don't worry. The antidepressant is in the next commercial break, where they're going to sell you some fucking Ruth's Chris or Outback Steakhouse. It's all there to sell you bullshit you don't need. If you can go to a grocery store or any place, right? Because let's be honest, our grocery stores exist to sell us more shit, right? You have maybe two aisles worth of actual food in your supermarket.
Well, it's placed
the more packaging that it comes.
It's specifically placed in certain areas. That's why they have the chips and the candy in the front, right out of the exit. That's why in every liquor store you see certain items in the front. It's so that you're like, oh, well, I'm going to check out. Might as well get it, because then you're able to see the total, and then you're able to see, like, how much is this. It's part of marketing. All of that's part of marketing. I would say, too, that about the news part about Fox and CNN, I would suggest if you've ever had the chance, like, watch, like, 20 minutes of Hannity, then flip it over, and I think, like, on CNN at that time, it's either Cuomo or Don Lemon, and you can see why the country's divided. It's so simple. If you can see the counter narratives, it's really Fox versus CNN, man. They're openly talking shit on each other right now. To me, it's entertaining. I just laugh at this shit because they're openly like talking shit, like, oh, like they'll go back and forth. They've been doing it for years now. And to me, that it's like that energy has crossed over, and then it's crossed over everywhere. You know, now they've like made the lines in the sands. But if you see it, they're both, like you said, propaganda. They're both spreading bullshit, but it's just like they're both pitting each other against each other. You know what I mean? They're there to yin to their yang. They complete each other.
But they came together for the aliens.
Yes, exactly. Of all things. Hey, we don't believe in climate change with you. We don't believe in your politics. Everything, we're tooth and nail. We're ready to kill you. But aliens, you're right.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to look at and put into that sort of context. Like, we're disagreeing on everything, but we've all got to talk about the aliens. Okay, let's talk about the aliens. Let's talk about Project Bluebeam. Let's talk about I forget his name off the top of my head, but allegedly, there was an alien in Eisenhower's cabinet, and that's all shit that's documented by people who've done more research than me. Like, you can look into that, and you can look into, oh, did Eisenhower go to Palm Springs to get his teeth worked on? Or did he go someplace else to have a meeting with an alien? Those are the choices, right? But folks have done more research than me in any of those subjects. And we're trusting people. We're told to trust people that we know have been lying to us. So why trust them now?
I think, too. What's it called? Like, what I think what you're saying, like, if I could, like, what I'm deciphering what you're saying is all the stuff they're putting out there now about the UFOs, we've already heard for the last 50, 60 years. There is nothing new that they're coming out. None of this information is breaking information where we're like, oh man, it's the same videos. Even the ones they're releasing, they were from like 2017. And then now there's some newer ones allegedly, you know, but like, it's nothing different than that's already been reported. It's not like where they're like, oh man, here's the actual alien talking, or, you know what I'm saying? You're not actually, it's always like, you're getting close behind the curtain, but they pull you back. You know what I mean? So, but they're never actually showing you anything. It's the same shit we've been hearing for the last 50, 60 years. Like you said, like, people have documented it. And I think now it's because the technology has caught up to the plan. And now you're like, okay, well, now we can pull off some fucking fake bullshit. You know what I mean? To get people, because fear is everything, because people think that they're doing the right thing and that they're chasing people into this like corner to help them. They don't necessarily think like, oh, I want to kill half of humanity or like some evil plan. But they actually think that this is the right way to go. Like, this is the thing that we need to do. And I think that they'll trick us. I think it's constant manipulation. Everything is manipulation. That's why the Central Intelligence Agency was so successful.
All right. So Flo0971 brought up David Wilcox confirming this. I have problems trusting David Wilcox and guys like Corey Good. And by the way, I've seen the documentaries. I've seen their documentaries, whether it's The Cosmic Secret or there was another one with the alien on the front. I have issues trusting them because they seem like they're selling something. Everyone, they're all trying to sell you something, whether, you know, it's David Wilcock trying to book $2,000 for a speaking engagement so that he can talk about his experience with abduction. I've spoken to lots of folks who will tell me about their abduction stories for free. I've got a buddy, I don't want to say buddy, a guy I know up here who had a very similar story to one of David Wilcox's stories. This dude said he was abducted from Homer, Alaska, that he was pulled onto to an object, and they extracted his seed with something similar to an octopus. And it apparently was the most intense orgasm ever. But lots of folks have stories about their abductions, but it's, what are they trying to sell you? What documentary are they trying to sell you? How much of your time are they trying to steal from you? So one of David Wilcox's guys is a guy by the name of Corey Good. Corey Good said that he was abducted. He was sent to like a Mars base. They reversed aged him like 30 years. But there's no evidence, right? Like, this is all the shit they did to me. I was a super secret soldier in the Space Force and all of this stuff. That I have a little bit of hard time believing, because you provide no actual evidence other than something that someone else has presented as evidence.
Well, especially during the time when everybody knows that and is well documented about the MK Ultra and different Manchurian candidate things that were going on. So how could that not correlate that they have some kind of significance that they relate to each other? Because they were giving people LSD. They were getting people tripped out and telling them weird things in different scenarios and trying to experiment on people and see what they could do to try to – mind control was the goal. Mind control, and I think that's always been the goal. How can you control a large mass of people to make it easier for them to rule, kind of?
Absolutely, absolutely. Whether it's drugs in the water supply, whether it's this or whether it's that – when you give regular folks who have no idea what's going on copious amounts of LSD, you're going to find folks that are losing their shit. Exactly. MK Ultra using the butterfly. You look at all of your favorite pop princess shit. You look at Mariah Carey. She's a perfect example of this, getting her vaccine and then saying that she's a vampire. Like, the shit's all there. If you want to believe the darkness, right, the dark stuff's all there for you to believe. And it's presented by people who seemingly have dark shit that they're getting into anyway, right? So whether it's MK Ultra's perfect description for this, Katy Perry, right? Katy Perry was sued by Lecrae, who is a gospel rapper, for sampling one of his songs and talking about the dark shit, traveling through astral planes and shit like that. So when you have folks like that, or Lil Nas X performing at Amazon for Amazon employees with Katy Perry and Jeff Bezos, you start looking at things a little bit differently, right? Like, what is the law? This was back in Old Town Road days. So like, what's this kid going to do next? Oh, he's selling Satan shoes and getting Satan some back shots in. Like that is the next thing. It's sort of the embrace of the dark shit. Like, how do we?
But I think that's been for a while. I think some of that, like, for me being an artist, like, that I'll probably, like, I had a different stance on the Lil Nas X things. For a lot of people didn't like my stance, but, like, me being an artist, like, I know how artists work. Like, you know what I mean? I've been around tons of artists my whole life. And to me, like, yeah, is there people that practice some of this dark shit? Sure. Like, there's, but, like, a lot of shit is shock rap culture. You know what I mean? How can I shock the audience? How can I put them, because if I do something really, really good or really, really bad, especially in this viral age, it's going to be everywhere. So whether or not he believes or doesn't believe that, and he's a young kid, like, so, like, I can see that he's embracing, like, to me, the big controversy was that he stole the video idea. The video idea was somebody else's idea. This, what's her name? I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but this other artist, she did a similar video, but I think hers was more about addiction. Her video was, like, about addiction, you know, going, like, through the she didn't do the lap dance thing on the devil. You know what I mean? But the whole sliding down the pole and going from heaven to hell. And, like, they just pretty much hijacked and stole it. And I think that they are trying to embrace this dark side, as far as to push it to get people to, like, yeah, like, I could do whatever I want. Like, I fuck this thing. Fuck morals. You know what I mean? So that way they can easily mold you into what they want you to be. Like, that's what the whole purpose is. That's why, like, if you've seen rap hasn't, like, rap has always had, like, because people go, whoa, what about the NWA? I've said that shit too. But I could see, like, what it is it's going to a level of, like, dumbed down is not even, like, the right word to say, because it's not just the lyrics or the way that they're delivering, because everybody has their own sound. And, you know, music is, depends on the person, you know, like, it's perceived different to everybody. But what you've noticed is that there's this whole, like, mentality that they're just this, like, what they are as their brand, what they're, this entity they've created, almost like this ego, you know, it's taken over, and people have just made themselves into these characters, and they try to live that life, and it's become too real, like, to where, like, people don't understand. I'm like, when I tell them, I'm like, you know, you're rapping about street shit, but, and they compare it to NWA, and I'm like, to me, it's different, because they were kind of, like, depicting of what was actually going on. You're manifesting and saying you want this to happen, and they're saying what this was going to happen, and they were trying, and then they tried to get away from it, you know what I mean? And you're still trying to live in that life and prove, like, oh, I'm the most gangster, I'm the biggest drug dealer. And I think it's become this, like, in general of everybody, that's just rap specifically, but, like, we've been entangled in this, like, keeping up with the Joneses or trying to have these egos and be these personas that we've created for ourselves, whether it be in music or any kind of art or just behind these screens, you know what I mean, on your Instagram channels or YouTube channels, that people would do anything to not damage that ego or that persona. They don't want, so that's why we see so much craziness, you know what I mean? Because they'll do anything to keep that persona, to keep that energy going to what they're trying to build and who they are.
I can't disagree with that. I think that when you're looking at the way artists are molded now, and they're not even necessarily molded by labels, a lot of times it's what we're looking at now is labels are much smaller than they used to be. You're seeing way less in the way of A&Rs. I mean, everybody's kind of slimmed down. Like, you don't have these monster labels that are attached to major labels for distribution anymore. You'll see guys like Quality Control who have these large rosters and have lots of people that they employ, but that's because they've gotten there, right? It's not, artists used to get these weird little label deals that weren't actual label deals. I don't think that, I know Lil' Kim had, like, Queen Bee Records, but I don't think she had an actual staff of people who were dedicated to servicing her records and making sure that her artists had proper representation. It was sort of a vanity thing so they could get a couple more points on their deal. You know, if you can, it was almost like pimping, right? Like, oh, okay, if you can bring me some more girls, we can make your situation a little bit better. That way, when I put you out on the street in your skirts, you're not the only one out there. You've got some other hoes with you. And so the major labels would give these artists their subsidiary labels so that they could just continue the hoe shit.
Yeah, exactly. And then the age of the internet came arise and it changed the music industry forever. And then the independent artists were able to like grow fan bases and make money without a label. And that's when you started seeing distribution deals instead of that's when a lot of labels were created, because now you were like, well, we don't need anything from you except your distribution. So then they were doing like, hey, such and such label, but like I'm connected to Atlantic, or you know what I mean? I'm connected to this. All those labels were connected. And you could run your own operation, but basically all they did was take care of the distribution side. And then as it's slowly been pushing even more away, because now the distribution's easy. You can just go upload anything you want to any platform, like pretty much. Like
you put shit on DistroKid, it goes everywhere.
Exactly.
All right. You don't need physical copies anymore.
But they've adapted. And the labels found their way, and that's why like they're really anal on you taking or using anything of theirs, and they're just promoted way heavier. They promote their, so they just go like this: hey, you go get signed to us. Like it's gonna take me longer to push a song to go viral. It's gonna take me a year, 2 years to make that song go viral, right? For with them, you're talking about maybe 2-3 months because they can have you on every billboard, every magazine. Every little pop-up, every little, like, you know what I mean? Talking about you. They'll have a whole staff of people that are thinking of ways to get your name out there more. Compared to someone like us that has to do all the work where you're, like, trying to book an interview and then you got to fly there and then you still got to, oh, you're mixing down your, you know what I mean? You're doing multiple things as an independent artist compared to the guy that's like, well, I just go in the booth and I rap and then they just fly me wherever I want. So they still have that part over us. But I think when the people see like what you can actually get on your own without using them is way more beneficial. And that's why I think they're trying to clamp down on all these social media sites and trying to make it corporate friendly instead of independent friendly.
I think you're seeing that. You're definitely seeing the major labels try and influence a lot of different things, but you also have services now that you didn't have previously. Like if you want to pull a sample, it's a lot easier now to get in touch with the artist or get in touch with the publishing company that holds the rights to the sample that you want. And granted, you're not getting exclusive rights, but you're not getting sued either, which has got to be nice. You know, like you pay your flat rate of $200 or $300 for a sample, but you don't, you know. Chances are maybe nothing will happen with that particular song, but you're not out half of the publishing for that song if it does take off. Yeah. So you're seeing that a lot of the things that the labels were overcharging artists for, right? Because they still wanted to recoup whatever money they spent. I believe it was actually DMX who said you can request an audit. All right. You can request an audit of all of your sales, all of this, all of that. And a lot of times those major labels will end up owing you money that they didn't pay for because they're not paying attention to their books either.
All right. Because the IRS, when they owe you, they'll be like, oh, it's going to expire. But when you owe them, that shit's forever.
Yeah. So in the military, right. If you got overpaid, like I knew dudes that, were getting non-tax deployment pay while they were at home station for like 3 months and they didn't. And if you don't raise your hand immediately, they're still going to take that money back. Eventually they're going to catch on. And they want their money back. Like you might not get a paycheck or two for the next couple of months, but they're going to get their money back regardless of how they fucked up. Like there's not a lot of leeway. They'll take your shit. So, send me stuff. Okay. What are your thoughts on Corbell?
On Corbell?
Yeah.
Which one is that? James Corbett?
That's the alien guy. Is the church to power
guy.
Okay.
I don't know much about him, but what I've seen, I mean, like I said, like I always think I take everything with a grain of salt when you don't paint the full picture. There was a lot going on in those times in the 50s and stuff and any of these UFO sightings, and they're never showing us anything new. It's the same thing like if you watch a Sasquatch show, like when I was young watching those stuff, like, you know, you still have no evidence. So I'm not saying you're lying. I'm not saying it can't be true. I'm just saying, but you can't show me anything. That's cool and all, but there's these other important things that are, like, pressing right now that are actually attacking our freedoms. Our freedoms have been attacked. And people are, like, oh, wearing a mask. And I keep bringing up, what about when TSA – the first freedoms that were taken away was after 9/11, when TSA is now was allowed to frisk you, was allowed to, like, you used to be able to walk up and go watch your loved ones fly and make sure they got safe, or used to be able to wait there in the lobby, you know what I mean, right there in the chairs and watch them walk right off the plane. They took all that stuff away from us. And I think that, like, that we got to see those things. And if you don't bring that into in, I know that aliens could be important, like any of those things could be important, but I don't think that's pressing to where it's going to change my life or change your life. If we don't talk about, like, stuff that Corbett's talking about, like, that stuff is really going to change your life drastically in a very negative way. You know what I mean? The aliens, whether true, not true, whatever, there's no benefit for me right now, like, that I can see. Like, maybe they have some, but then what are they doing? Why does it keep dangling around? How come for so many years it was something that it was taboo to talk about? That the original conspiracies besides the JFK people were, like, UFO people. That was the thing that, like, taboo to talk about. You're a kook, you're a nut, and now all of a sudden it's a cool thing. Remember, just wasn't it, like, in 2019, the raid, the Area 51? That all those people were going to raid, or maybe not 2019, maybe 18, whatever. A couple years ago, everybody was going to raid Area 51, and we were going to nothing happened, of course. But that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That when you see so much hoopla about it, so much, like, press, so much pushing it, why there's some kind of agenda when you're pushing it so much, especially these major networks. And like you said, two major networks that are always talking in constant conflict of each other, and all of a sudden they have something they agree on. To me, there's more to it, that there's a reason that they're pushing that down our throat to hide people like Corbett, to hide people like that are actually telling you, hey, look behind the curtain. It's not as crazy as you think it is, but it's pretty fucking corrupt.
Absolutely. And I recommend that anyone watching this, go check out thecorbettreport.com. It's a great site with a lot of information. Because, and I'm not saying that he has all of the answers, but what we're talking about with aliens is grainy footage shot on cell phones, shot on, you know, from planes, you know, years and years ago. But it's all stuff that they told us was going to come out, right? Now, one of the things that is interesting is we have, what, a couple weeks left before the government is supposed to drop all the alien information that they have anyway. And I don't think that we're going to find anything in there that we didn't think was happening already. All right. We're talking about Area 51, where they do all of the all of the testing of new weapons. The helicopter that they flew in on the Bin Laden raid, the stealth helicopter, came from Area 51. That's all stuff that's developed there. When you talk about Bob Lazar, he's talking about stuff from 30 plus years ago. Right. Yeah. So.
Element 15, right? Was it
like the Element 115?
Yeah, 115.
Like. Element, yeah.
And then now they. But what I was gonna say is, sorry to cut you off. That's what's weird to me is that, like, why now are, like, so for all these years you're bashing Bob Lazar and he's a nut and he's crazy, and now you're bringing out evidence that is making him seem credible. And there has to be a reason to me. And I look at everything through a slanted glass, like a slanted vision of where I can see, like, all right, well, yeah, you're trying to do this, but why? Like, there's got to be some kind of motive. And there is a motive, because if you were smearing some guy for the last 30 years and now all of a sudden you're trying to justify what he's doing, it's the same weapon that's always used, is manipulation. So they know that alien phenomena has been in American pop culture for the last 60, 70 years, right? Like, we've had tons of movies. We've had tons of, like, fanfare with it. You know, people love E.T. You know, there's the horror films, Aliens. We could go on and on about, like, space, and people have, like, so much love for that. So I think that they play off that because since they have so many movies on that, now they go, well, this is a – we know this is a distraction that will keep – these people, this certain slash of people going. And I think it's like conspiratorial people, like people that are kind of like on the fringe. Like maybe you're into UFOs and maybe you'll check out one of our videos or you'll check out a Corbett or somebody like that. And you might believe that. So I think that pushing the alien is like, hey, let's believe in something bigger than us so that like we can stop focusing on the little right now because we can see focus on these aliens, which is going to make us better, almost like what people use with religion. Like, let's just focus on this. Like, yeah, it sucks right now. It's okay because the aliens are going to come. They're going to fix everything. So then that makes people keep going because you have some sort of hope to keep you pushing. It gives people like some kind of nostalgia of like wonderment as kids and like this. You know what I mean? It brings people these feelings up. And I think that's how they distract other people in our community.
I think you're right. I think that there's so much intentional misinformation that's thrown out there that there's really no option, no choice for your regular person but to feel a certain way. Is there information that they're not providing us? Is there information they're providing us? What is the truth? What is a lie? And just like in the truther community, you talk about 9/11. Was it, was it direct energy weapon or was it a hologram? Was there thermite on the beams? Was there this? And no, your shit has to be wrong and you're a fucking idiot rather than saying, well, why did it happen? Who allowed it? What is the shit we can prove? And then what is the evidence that is going to be provided? And then who benefited from it? Which is the other thing. And Corbett did a lot of stuff on the 9/11 trillions and who made money off of September 11th. And some of the names might surprise you. Some of the names might not surprise you. But you can't find it on YouTube anymore.
Because they don't want you to find that.
No, they want you to find some fucking aliens.
Yeah, because that's something they could control the narrative. Like I said, I'm not saying I believe in the existence of aliens. I just think that if they would never release it to us. If we found out, it's going to be like because someone accidentally found out. But how can we believe any of this bullshit they're saying when they don't give us any new, like there's nothing new. Like you said, it's still grainy footage. It's still some little snapshot of something that could still be a drone. It's still a question mark. It's not like, oh, definitive evidence. It's never definitive evidence. It's always something where you can go, yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. So to me, when I see that, I see bullshit.
Meanwhile, if they tell you that they've been here since fucking forever and the Stargate's real, it's not. It can't be true. Why would it be? That shit's just crazy. Why wouldn't they open up come down to the sky and say hi and we're here to rescue you? But also notice that aside from E.T., it's generally speaking a bad guy alien. Right?
Always.
It's all and. By the way, so E.T., and if you go down the William Cooper rabbit hole, and I highly recommend anyone who ever watches this does, a lot of this shit is based on stuff that actually happened. If you look up extraterrestrial biological entity, EBE, that's where E.T. came from, all right? A lot of these films, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, based on actual events, right? And so you have guys like Spielberg who is essentially hired to tell these stories, right? He's brought in to soften the blow of the truth. So in the film Munich, right? Have you seen Munich?
A long time ago. Not I can't.
All right. Israeli special forces hunt down the bad guys and kill them in ugly ways. God bless them. But you have to be at a certain level of trust in these government agencies to be able to get that information. Who are the arms dealers? Who are these folks? Who are these folks? And then you being able to use their names in footage, right, in film or something close enough to their names in the footage to talk about these stories. You have to have a level of trust with a government, with a three-letter agency to be able to provide this sort of information. I think that actual disclosure has already happened. There's just been so much bullshit misinformation that it still exists to be misinformation. We're going to get whatever the actual truth is. Maybe we'll get that. But I think that there's been enough information that we can sort of discern what's real and what's not. I think it's far more likely that Eisenhower had someone in his cabinet from another universe that gets here through a wormhole, rather than some UFO that travels here from deep space. How else would they get here so rapidly? The other thing that I've heard, and this is kind of interesting, is that these are hypersonic drones, that these might have come from China or they might have come from Russia. And I think that that's just as equally a possibility. Why not? The idea that, our competitors, these other superpowers, there's no way that they could have any of this stuff because they're not us. Well, who's saying that we don't have this stuff?
Yeah, and who's to say that not only do we not have this stuff, but what's it called? There's even more. Even that stuff you've seen, there's stuff that we haven't seen. Like, direct energy weapons have been around for a long time before. Like, people were talking about them and like, conspiracy theory. But they've been around for a long time. People saw them. People were talking about them. And then these things come out, and then everybody acts like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, I heard a lot of people saying when they were like, I don't like – I think we talked about it, that whole Marjorie Greene situation where Marjorie Greene, whatever her name is, said that, like – they were like, she said laser beams came from space. And I kept arguing with people, and I was like, okay, whatever you think about her, you could say whatever you want. But that is not a lie, man. There's literally the Pentagon came out last September and said that Russia and China have both weaponized their satellites with direct energy weapons, which is technically a laser from space.
I would like to mention this about Marjorie Taylor Greene, because I think she's an interesting human being. She's very much seems like a cure, but she was also a CrossFit instructor, right? So she was, and if you know anything about CrossFit, it's essentially a fitness cult. So like we've already seen that she's able to buy into crazy shit like burpees.
Only CrossFit and people in jail do burpees.
Yeah, basically, like that. You ever walk into a gym and see anyone do burpees? No. It's inmates and it's CrossFitters. They're the only people that do it. Yeah, they're doing their 15-minute AMRAPs of fucking arm curls and shit. Okay, what about the reverse technology that T-90 triangle ship? So I think that there's definitely reverse engineering. If you have something in front of you that can do something special, why not take a look at it and try and figure out how it works? I mean, that's what Bob was doing. If you believe why Bob got hired to do the things that he did, then, yeah, he's someone who was doing things differently than a lot of people. He had a rocket car, shit like that. Why wouldn't you have someone that looked at things a little bit differently to try and reverse engineer what you had? I do believe that UFOs have been here for fucking ever. They've been here since we've been here.
Me too. But like my point, and I think maybe your point as well, is like, I'm not saying that shit's not fascinating. I'm not saying that there's not all these kind of maybe potential, even different alien species and this and that. My thing is that if you tell somebody that, is that going to change their mind and help them right now to fix this shitty situation we're in? No. So we have to figure out ways of showing people that they're being manipulated and to stop being manipulated and to do what you need to do to live your life. And that's where we're at right now. Like, people are manipulated by fear. So like, if you tell someone like the UFO thing, so they can entangle the UFO thing into the conspiracy. Let me guess. You think it's aliens too, huh? Like, you know what I mean? Now the famous one is like, oh, you must be an Alex Jones. People call you Alex Jones right away on Twitter, man. Like, if you say anything against the narrative, you're Alex Jones immediately. And I'm like, man, but Alex Jones is pretty funny, though, man. He was on Andrew Schultz, Flagrant. That shit was hilarious, man. He was pretty funny, man. Maybe he is Bill Alex Hicks.
Jones, Alex Jones has been right about a lot of stuff. There are things that he's been wrong on, but he's been right about more stuff than he's been wrong on. Now, how much of what he does is people talk about his divorce proceedings when they talk. Oh, he said that he admitted that everything's his show when he's at his divorce hearing. Like, well, he's an entertainer just as much as he's a journalist. That's like trusting Don Lemon to give you your information or Chris Cuomo or fuck any of them, because they all say in their divorce proceedings that they're just entertainers. You know, Rush Limbaugh was an entertainer. He wasn't a journalist. That's all any of them are. They're all entertainers whose job it is to sell you something you don't need. They sell you information and interpretation that you could get from AP, that you could get from any other news source. They're not journalists. They're broadcasters. They're entertainers. And the difference between Alex Jones and someone like, say, Chris Cuomo is that at least Alex Jones owns his shit.
Yeah, and he does some kind of like, and he's more in the thick of things than they are. They literally just go to their desk, sit there, and pick through what their preparation. You know what I mean? Like, all right, what did you? What stories? Let me see. No, that's, you know what I mean. That's about it.
Tell me how I'm supposed to feel about this. How do I feel about this, yeah. Boss? Thank you, boss. Thank you.
And
for
that's what the
me
media has been become, and that's why we're so divided as a country. Because Fox is telling their viewers to feel a certain way, and CNN is telling them to feel the quite opposite way. And to me, all of that stuff represents the basic 101 blueprint of the Central Intelligence. They always do that. They get one, they pit one group, they make one group, and then they make the opposite group, and they fight each other. It always happens in every other country. That's how we overthrow countries. We go, hey, oh, you guys don't like this guy? All right, we're going to start a group with you, and we're going to fund you, and you're going to start attacking them. And then we go, man, don't you hate those guys, man? They're attacking everything. And we're like, hey, how about we help you, and we'll fund you so you can fight them? And then you've created, like, something that you did. You've created a way to disrupt their democracy or whatever kind of ideology they're running, and you're able to put in place who you want to be, who you want to be in charge, because now it's in chaos. So no, obviously nobody is loyal to any side at that point. Everything has become utter chaos, and then someone comes in that's a little stronger and goes, okay. Then we come in the third time and we go, we're gonna help you guys, we're gonna put this guy in charge of the country, and don't worry, he's a good guy, man, he knows what he's doing. And then boom, it's like the endless cycle.
He's worked for us for a long time.
He's got grandkids.
It's extra fucked up, and you start seeing it more and more. You mentioned the CIA, like in South America, where they were funding the drug lords, and they were importing the drugs. At the same time, they're funneling weapons down to counter-revolutionaries and revolutionaries so that they can fight communists. We live in a fucked up world where the information that we get is it's filtered, it's vetted, it goes through someone at a three-letter agency who says you can or can't say that. And that's where we're at.
And if you see at CNN and Fox, they all have ex-generals, ex-CIA, you know what I mean? All intelligence, like you said, three-letter agency people to make sure that the story. So instead of being Operation Mockingbird, where they were just planting stories, they're like, you know what? People didn't like that. So what we're going to do is we're just going to plant all the reporters. Like, we're going to just have the guy go there and be your new guy. And nobody questions it. Like, when you hear all this defund the police, which there is some like justifications or for what some people, I don't know about the whole defunding part. Like, I have my own different perspective on policing, but obviously that's from my experience. So like, it's going to vary differently than some other people maybe. But I always keep thinking it's funny that they're never talking about the FBI or the CIA or, you know what I mean, all these other agencies that have played a huge role, man. Like, when you talk about the civil rights movement, yeah, there's the cops, but how come you don't talk about the FBI? The FBI was there implanting people inside these movements. They're still doing it to this day, and the CIA is still doing this to this day.
I think you're crazy if you think they don't. right? If they don't incentivize people doing crazy shit. And that's one of the things that, Corbett did. If you look into, and I'm sure you can still find it somewhere on the internet, it's a big place, but check out his Timothy McVeigh documentary. Timothy McVeigh in this documentary, I guess he told his sister that he had been sheep dipped, which means that during this special forces training, he was pulled out and said, "You're not in special forces training anymore. You work for us." He was separated from the army. He was doing what they told him to do, which is to wrap himself up in the Patriot movement. And because of that, you start seeing things like you start hearing about things like the Michigan militia. You start hearing about like the Patriot movement. As if loving your country is necessarily a bad thing. But they try to portray it as something that it isn't or something that it wasn't so that they can make it into what they want it to be so that they can turn people onto it and turn people against it so that they can create this narrative of what is good and what is bad. And when they're able to do that, then they're able to control everything. The worst thing is the fake questions, right? The fake questions, the fake authority, the fake trust. So when I was on active duty, Leon Panetta was the Secretary of Defense, and he came to our little base to give a speech and take some questions from the audience. Now, the questions that they asked were, they were like questions that were given to people. Here's your question that you get to ask the Secretary of Defense. He's going to already have the answer. We were facing a government shutdown. And this Army sergeant said, basically, are we still going to get paid? Which wasn't one of the questions that they asked. And I'm sure that sergeant got his head ripped off later. But the fact of the matter is when you see any of these speakers, whether it's the president or his press secretary or it's the head of the FBI or the head of this or the head of that, they're being fed questions they already have the answers to. And that's what gets presented as news. They don't ask the questions that are harder to answer, that are a little bit uglier to answer, that maybe we might not like the answer, but it's the most true and the most honest answer. What we get is, well, here's the bullshit. Here's your not answer to your question. You ask a direct question. What is the hardest way to answer that? Let me answer it that way. You know, to give you the least amount of information.
They even do that in sports now. Like, it used to be, like, pretty entertaining. Like, especially me, I like football and shit as growing up as a kid. And you'd see, like, the coach get all pissed off. Like, man, we went out there. And they, you know what I mean? Like, playoffs. Like, you know, just like now they go, you know, we gave 110%. And, you know, everybody's just out there, and we're out there doing the thing, and they were over there doing the thing, and then they did the thing a little bit better than we did. And you're like, man, it's so boring. Like, and that's just because everything's controlled now. Everything, they don't want that off-the-cuff answer where someone's going to tell you, like, you. And now with sports, you have a more likelihood of somebody crossing that line. But in politics, especially with the presidency right now, how they're running it, it is like 100% them trying to have every single question vetted and every single situation protective of him not going off cuff, because when Biden goes off cuff, he's going to say some wild shit, and he still kind of slipped up here and there, you know what I mean? But they've tried to control the situation as much as possible with him.
So speaking of football, I spoke to a buddy of mine who is an NFL agent whose name I won't say, but he said essentially the way that football is being run now, it is an order. It's in order to sell to China, right? If you look at sports right now, if you look at specifically the NFL, and I fucking hate the NFL for a bunch of different reasons. One of them is 4 hours of fucking waiting for plays to happen versus 8 minutes of actual action. But that is all to sell advertising. If you look at like the Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs fans were highly upset about the calls that were the plays that were called against them, right? And all of that is because you had so much, you lost all of your ticket sales for a year, right? Everything has to be televised throughout the world. So you're going to have some bullshit, bogus calls so that they can sell the advertising so that they can make up for the losses throughout the regular season. So that's why you see a lot of the plays, a lot of the calls being made the way that they're made so that they can sell the advertising between the plays. All of those plays, all of, we're going to take a quick 60-second break for the referees to analyze the play. They can look at it once or twice in slow motion and figure that shit out. It takes 10 seconds. Instead, you got to wait, you know, a minute or two so that they can sell you a fucking car.
Yeah.
Or they can sell you some shit to order, some shit you don't need. It is a distraction. It's all created to sort of sell shit. By the way, I do like that. I'm a mixed martial arts guy. That's my sport. The UFC defended Rose Namajunas for saying that she's an anti-communist. She's got a fight coming up with Weili Zhang. Weili Zhang is from China. She's, you know, very much a proud Chinese fighter, but Rose family left Lithuania under the communists, right? They came to the United States for a bit of freedom, and the UFC decided they were going to defend her. They weren't going to make her apologize,
which was incredible, especially nowadays, because any other organization would have definitely made them apologize, if not literally just boot them off the fucking team or cut them or tell them to go find a new job. Like, that was pretty cool, like, to see that with the UFC and it being, like, not just a mixed martial art, the actual big heavyweight in MMA, you know what I mean? To step up and say, hey, we're going to defend that they have the right to say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm getting messages from the bride that I've got to head back inside to do dad shit.
Yes, sir, man. Me too. I was going to tell you, let's wrap it up, man. It was good talking to you, man. Like, we got a lot of touching. I got to go check out that. I'd never even seen the Timothy McVeigh documentary. I got to go check that out.
Please do. And before we dip out, I need to hear you talk about some of your new music.
Oh, I got, like, I got my new video, Shut 'Em Down. But we're working on a lot of shit. We got our label, Daily Operations Music. We're trying to put some new music out there. We got the Christian Brothers. That's some new shit coming out. I got a couple little homies that we're going to put out. We're going to put out little labels. We're not going to talk about that yet, but we're going to put other people out. I'm going mad music. I got another working on an album right now, Psychosis, with the homie Harsh Ramirez. Just keep working, man. Because people ask me, because I've been asked to monetize this a lot, and I was like, I don't know, man. I kind of just like shooting the shit. I don't want no one to tell me anything. I just want to say whatever the fuck I want. I can make my money off my music, and then I can say whatever the fuck I want here. Well, tell the people where they could go see you, man, and where they could go follow you and everything.
Fair enough. All right, so you can check out easily. The easiest way to do it is at Woken Bake Podcast. It's streaming across most platforms. I think everything but Spotify I'm on. Also, Streaming Service and Chill is the one where we sit down and review streaming music, streaming movies, anything really that I feel like talking about. But we've also got the merchandise. And if you are in Alaska, if you are up here in the middle of nowhere and you feel like doing something tonight, we have a live music at Four Royal Parkers. We brought in Mad Angler. We brought in Shabazz James. And we brought in Sean Van Camp. So if you like hip-hop music, today's also Red Man's birthday. So if you're like, hey, I want to burn some trees and celebrate the birth of Reggie Noble, this is your time to do it. Burn some trees in celebration of Red Man. Why not?
Yes, sir. All right, man. You know how we do it. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.